said I saw something. Yeah. What did he see?
That's a problem for the Buck coaching staff.
Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is on. The Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is here. The king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. What a podcast we have coming, Ira. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. All the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford. We appreciate everybody listening at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, other platforms right there at JoeBucksFan.com. Love the great support and the growth of the podcast. Sage, actually, on the Podbean app, which is one of the smaller apps out there, but we have got 799 subscribers there. So who wants to be number 800? Well, I'd love to see that thing tick to 800. Would be
nice. I'm going to say somebody from Caracas. I got Caracas on my mind.
I don't think so. But anyway, Ira, look, Bill Curry Ford, they still have the employee pricing. So if you need a new vehicle, this is really the best time. Employee pricing, it was explained to us by Bill Curry Ford General Manager Sean Sullivan. It's no joke. And get to their website, Bill Curry. That's the family name, Curry, third generation family business, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. They're a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. You can shop online. You can shop in their gorgeous brand new showroom. Totally redone. Unreal. It's been about 6 months now, maybe a little longer. And you'll get great service there. You can shop online. They'll bring a vehicle out to you if you want to test drive, Ira.
Open Sundays.
They are fantastic. Mobile service, biggest actual service department anywhere you're going to find in the greater Tampa Bay area and beyond. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. It's like a Walmart, just the service department in size. They've got 100 loaner vehicles. They'll come out to your property. They're just fantastic. BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. And Ira, Florida's Elite Restoration, we thank them for their service to the Tampa Bay community. That's the bottom line. They've got the Ira Kaufman discount. Call, mention Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks Fan when you call Florida's Elite Restoration after you have a disaster in your home.
There's
fire.
A reason their business is booming, Steve. There's a reason.
Absolutely. Fire, flood, mold, storm damage, water damage. Ira's the water damage whisperer. We can't say enough about them. And the 5-star Google reviews say it all. But also Sean Sullivan, customer, as well as Rock Riley, our good friend, multimedia icon.
Right.
He's dealt with them. I've dealt with them. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Get to their website now. Make them part of your storm disaster plan. Because they're going to answer the phone 24-7, and they'll give you a completely free evaluation. And that's what you need. They've got that Ira Kaufman discount. $500 comes back to you if you mention Ira when you first call or Joe Bucks Fan. And after they evaluate everything, if you move forward with them, you can use that money for whatever you need. Florida'sElitereStoration.com, licensed mold remediation specialists. Mold is a killer, Ira. You got all that mold in your fridge. I bet you got some elsewhere.
I go through that fridge every other day, Steve, tossing things out one after the other.
There you go, Sage. All right, look, exciting times with the NFL draft in the books, Ira.
We got to examine day three, Steve. We got to bore in on day three.
You know what? Where do you want to go first? What stood out to you from day three?
I'm very excited about a day three pick, Lee, and you know who I'm talking about. My only question is, who the hell was this guy going up against? And I'm talking about Mr. David Walker. Small school, Lee. Small. Not Arkansas. Central Arkansas. Difference. But Jason Light, I think, is he might have done a cartwheel after this pick. He's absolutely in love with this guy. Why he lasted until the fourth round, we'll have to find out from Buck Scouts. You know, last year, Bucky Irving, now, look, you can't hit a fourth round pick big every year, Lee. But he certainly did last year. And if he does it again, and if Walker gets 7 sacks and part-time duty as a situational pass rusher, you might as well give Light the executive of the year right now. I mean, this guy Walker's got my attention, Lee. He's got my attention. Very productive.
And I know Central Arkansas is not Division I. It's whether you know, FCS or FJB or whatever the hell it is now.
They might be playing Brooklyn College on a Saturday.
Well, no, I think it's 1AA, but they call it something else. 82 tackles for loss.
He was a one-man wrecking crew, Lee.
82 tackles for loss in his 4 years there. I don't care what level of football is. That's insane.
It is.
82 tackles. I mean, when I get a chance, I'm going to ask him, what'd you put up a tent in the backfield or something?
That means he's always in the backfield.
Always. You have to be always in the backfield. It also tells me he's throwing people around, that he's getting penetration, he's throwing people around, he's shedding blocks. That's crazy. Now, I had heard in the media room Saturday, and I didn't catch it, so I can't speak to it, nor did I look it up yet. I will. That they thought 82 tackles for loss was, they didn't know about the FJB level of football or not. But as far as Division One, that would be a damn near a record. But that's what blew me away was that. Now, I don't know if you saw the video or not, Ira, of after they picked Walker. The war room went bananas, the Bucks war room. I mean, Larry Foote jumped up, runs up the light, bear hugs him and screams. That's how you win a Super Bowl. Beal was beaming. Bowles was beaming. You know, Light was pumping his fist. When have you seen a reaction for a fourth-round pick like that?
Last time I saw that kind of reaction was after I read one of my columns. I mean, that's outstanding.
You know what that tells me, Ira? It tells me that they probably tried to trade up for the guy but didn't have success, but he was there anyway. I mean, why else would you react like that?
Now, a skeptic, Steve, would say, wait a minute. Before you go too crazy about this guy, why'd you let him slip into the fourth round? He could have been off the board for all you loved him. That's a fair point.
Now, he's a unique build, Ira. 6'1", 263. That's very unique. He's like a fire hydrant in a lot of ways, but he ran a 4.69, 40-yard dash.
He's quick off the ball.
He's got a lot of power.
Gotta be.
Quickness and power, and they think it translates to the next level. He had a good senior ball, which is a Jason Light theme through his drafts over the years, and they're fired up. Now, we don't know what's going to happen, but you know what? This guy gets to go in training camp against Heck, you know, the backup tackle,
yeah,
and he'll
yeah.
get his time against Wirfs and Luke Getteke. So, you know, there you go.
If he's healthy, Lee, and he makes the 53, I think there's a spot for him getting some playing time this fall.
Hell yeah, because, you know, those two practice squad warriors, we're always hearing about how they drive Wirfs crazy in practice.
Watson, but, Ramirez.
But they can't do a damn thing on Sunday. But anyway, to get back to a pattern, another pattern that Light has with guys is Bruce Feldman's freaks list. Well, I don't know how familiar you are with Bruce Feldman's freaks list. Every summer, his contacts are pronounced.
Am I on the freaks list, Lee?
No, because you don't play college football.
There you go.
And he uses all his sources. He comes up with the top 100 freaks. Those are athletic freaks. And Light loves to draft linebackers and linemen who are on Bruce Feldman's freaks list. This guy, Walker, two-time freaks list. And he's from Central Arkansas.
Now, before I get too excited, was Shoyinka on that list
four years?
Yes, he
was.
As
was Logan Hall, as was Kalijah Kansi, so it's not all bad.
Well, Ira, now I got to take a little exception with what you said here. Where is this guy going to play? Now, let me put this out here, right? So we've got Yaya Diaby, starter, athletic freak himself, even a bigger athletic freak than Walker, and a guy they love. You've got Hassan Reddick. Now, Anthony Nelson, for 6 years in a row, has been playing 30-40% of the snaps, so I don't see how that changes. They paid him a good amount of money. Obviously, Todd Bowles likes him. He's on his third contract. And Jason Light said Chris Braswell is going to shock the world. So I don't know how much he's going to play. Now, this, what I love about this is that it makes preseason even that much more exciting. The Bucks have a hell of a preseason coming up when it comes to guys who need to produce in preseason to actually get on the field. I think Walker's one of these guys.
And Ramirez and Watts. Because they've seen those two characters.
Right now, he's the number five edge rusher. That's not a lot.
I'm not signing up with Braswell shocking the world at this juncture.
I think there's a perfect word for that claim. Dubious.
It's better. I was going to say projection. Yours is better.
I mean, if he shocks the world, what's that mean? He's going to triple his production? That means he has less than six sacks. Come on.
Steve, is Reddick and Diaby and Nelson all going to play 17 games? Probably not. Not all three. I think this guy can get 15 snaps. That's all I'm saying.
Right now I'm looking at he's going to replace Watts slash Ramirez. That's what it looks like to me.
I haven't said that. There's no guarantee he makes the team.
Having said that, I hope he's good enough to start. That's the bottom line.
Oh, yeah,
he's
obviously
a terror. Put him on the damn field. But, you know, he's got a hill to climb here. But it is interesting that they're celebrating him as Super Bowl cog.
But not much of a hill to climb.
Now, wait a minute. They got a 460-pound guy and they got a 145-pound guy that they just drafted in the seventh round? What the heck's going on that
roster?
Well,
let's talk about that. Tez Johnson, the wide receiver out of Oregon.
Now, I like his name. His name sounds Tez. Like a dynamic player.
Well, you know why he's named Tez? That's a nickname. But you know why he's named that?
Why?
Short for Tasmanian Devil. Remember Bugs Bunny?
Oh, I like that.
Now, those who listen to the Best in Class podcast with Sean Sullivan, who listened to the receivers breakdown, they heard all about Tez Johnson long before the draft.
Wow.
Because Sean was saying, look, the film on this guy, I don't care about the bad 40 time. It's stunning. And let's face it, he had 2,000 yards in over 2 years in Oregon. It's a high production guy. He put up 181 yards on Penn State. He's done very well in big games. He got behind the defense against Ohio State.
So Bo Nix drew to him a couple of years ago?
Yes.
Yes, and yes. He was actually living with the Nix family. It's a whole unique story there. But the guy also is an excellent punt returner. 2 years, polished
See,
punt
now
returner.
I like hint, hint. Now you made my night
so
over
he's
here.
An electric kind of cat, and somehow here he is in the seventh round. Fun pick, 5'10", 150. He's going to be a lot of fun.
Here's what you're going to find fun, Ira. This guy's huge personality. In the Zoom press conference on Saturday, he said something. Somebody asked him about, hey, you were picked so late. He goes, yeah, what took him so long? Well, the Bucks released a video, those videos they have where they call him up and say, hey, you're a Buck. They released the video. You know what he tells Light? What took you so long?
Fantastic. He didn't cry like Morrison, right? He didn't bawl like Morrison.
No, but he did. He did.
What took you so? I love that. Steve.
What took you so long?
That. A lot of people like that pick. A lot of people like the Johnson pick
because he's one of those guys. And you know what I think of the combine, the underwear football, borderline useless. I'm a big film guy. You're being drafted to play football, not run track, indoor track. I can't tell you how many times I read his football speed, his tape. It's so much better than what he
did
at the combine.
You see anybody tracking him down from behind?
No. But here's what I'm getting at. You'll love what he said. Someone asked him, what's your style? And he said, I try to run like a squirrel. And if you see highlights of him.
Cosmo can never catch a squirrel in the yard.
Can't
do it.
Cosmo, I don't think, will catch this guy. I'm serious. You watch his highlights, you can see it. He runs like a squirrel.
Well, you know what, Ira? So what if he gets caught from behind? Bucky Irving gets caught from behind. He doesn't have that.
I don't yards. Mind if they only use him as a punt returner.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think Trey Palmer could be in trouble.
That's all he's going to be, is a punt returner. They may figure out a couple of packages for him or something, maybe a handoff or whatever. But
Palmer's longest punt return was 17 yards.
He's no punt returner.
So this guy said, Ira, Johnson, oh, man, whatever team I go to, I know right away, I'm the punt guy. That job's mine.
Wow.
That's mine.
Wow.
So, I mean, he's going to be a lot of fun. But one thing I got to say, and I think it's important as we have celebrated a lot of the personalities of these rookies, it's just different the way it was. They're all rich men. Tez Johnson, he probably made his top receiver out there 2,000 yards at Oregon over the last couple of years. He's probably got $2 million that he's already banked. Easy.
What a new world, Lee.
So
yeah.
My point is that a guy like that, a seventh round pick 5 years ago, he's on a news conference and he's yes, sir, no, sir. I've met my dream of being in the league. I can't believe it. He's crying about his family. These guys now, they're loose. They're comfortable. They're millionaires. They're just being themselves, and you see it more early, So I like it.
It could be a hell of a pick, Lee. I don't care if he's just a punt returner, Lee. I don't care. Now, let's talk about this Elijah guy, Lee. What do you know about him, and do you think he's got a role? Does he have a potential role?
He looks like Will Golston. He's Will Golston.
Is he fifth rounder?
Yeah, SMU. Elijah Roberts, right?
Yeah, Elijah Roberts.
Big dude. Will Golston.
Run stuffer?
He can rush the passer. He did a good job of that at SMU. But physically, he looks like Will Golston as far as – and I love Will Golston. He's a great glue guy, but you could tell he's about done.
One overall point, which I think is worth noting about the overall draft class. I spent a lot of time talking about the Egbuka pick being the best player available on the Bucks board. I think it's fair to say, Steve, looking at the other five guys that they ended up with, Need played a major role with all the guys. Corner, edge rusher, run stuffer, and maybe punt returner. I think Need played a big role. It wasn't the dominant thing, but it did. Egbuka was not a Need pick.
Sage, Todd Bowles was on SiriusXM NFL Radio on Monday morning. Early. And, Bowles loves to get up early.
Absolutely.
And he was talking about the picks. And he was adamant that, look, Egbuka, and he even mentioned, for a change, he mentioned Trey Palmer by name. He said there's no reflection on Trey Palmer. There's no reflection on Godwin, all these other guys. He really emphasized this guy was the best guy on our board and what we loved and couldn't pass him up. And that's it. And I believe it.
I dare say the Bucks got some offers to move down from 19 from teams that wanted to trade up. And I think Light's attitude in that room was, we're not passing on this guy.
Well, there were, two or three teams that did jump back up in the first round? So that would not surprise me. With Egbuka, when Mike Beal was talking about him after the draft Friday night, it sounded like they were going to draft him last year. And the way he talked, it sounded like they were going to draft him last year. They had done all the homework on him. They thought he was coming out. After 3 years, it sounded like they were sold on him back in 2023 during the football season. And that got put on ice for a year. So he's very much been a target of theirs for 2 years. And that's wild to
Steve,
me.
Are you over this emphasis on character, or do you say it's worked out pretty well for the Bucks? I mean, they seem to be really honed in on character.
Well, you can't be over it because they're winning with it. It's just a question of...
Obviously, the guy's got to have skills.
What we don't know and what we may never know is who are you losing because of your character bar? And maybe
I think they're dropping guys off the board.
And maybe there's some of those guys that shouldn't be dropped off, but we don't know that, and it's working for him. Bowles went on to say, though, however, of the second and third round pick, he said, quote, "It was important for us to get some corners in the draft." He didn't say a corner, and we got two. He said some corners, and you know, said he believes that these guys have a good chance to play, and that their depth hurt them last year. And you know, we know the story. So
nobody's pushing McCollum out of a starting job, Lee. That's not going to
happen. I know you're pushing Jamel Dean out of town. I know that.
I think he's in trouble. I think he's in trouble.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
I'm willing to put money down. He's starting week one.
Ira, what does that mean in May, June, July, and August?
Lee, we got a $20 bet.
Okay.
You and I, 20 to 20.
If Jamel Dean starts, I get 20 bucks?
Yeah.
Okay. And, of course, if he doesn't start week one?
Not the first preseason game.
No,
first
week
regular
one.
Season. Now, 20 bucks.
What? Just so we're clear, do we factor in injury or not?
No. It's just a fair bet.
Straight bet.
And, Steve, you know, if I lose 20 bucks, you're going to have to increase my salary.
Should we go to 25? It is 2025, Ira.
20. You want a piece of that too, Isbeth?
What am I betting? There's only two. You get it's a one-man bet.
Yeah. All right, me and Lee.
Unless you're going to put up 40 bucks.
No. We didn't talk that much about Jacob Parrish. I mean, are they going to try him at the slot? What's going on there? Are they going to move Tyke Smith? We don't know
Tyke Smith was lobbying to play safety. And you kind of figure that's where he's going to be because they could have gotten Malachi Starks. That's a hell of a pick by Baltimore. They obviously passed on him, so I guess that's wide open. So I guess this Parrish will be a nickel.
Wasn't Smith drafted to be the slot corner?
Well, that's just it.
Why move him?
I wrote a story about that a week or two ago. Like, you know, are they jumping the gun here? I don't think he's established himself as a slot. Now he wants to play safety. I'm not saying it's a big question, but it's a little question mark.
I wouldn't move him out of the slot just because the guy wants to be on the field 100% of the time.
So everybody wants to be on the field.
All right, I just think it comes down to competition. Bowles is like, all right, great, go fight it out, guys.
Who's the other safety?
According to the Bucks, Morrison and Parrish can play outside corner or inside corner. Now, what reality is, we don't know. But that's what they say. And Tyke Smith says he wants to play safety. Okay, go beat out Christian Izian, who's played pretty
well there.
And they've got other guys, and Izian obviously can play nickel. But Tyke Smith, I've said it before on the podcast, Ira, led the team in forced turnovers. He's going to be on the field.
If I'm one of Ira's listeners, and I hear people talking about, and I like Christian Izian, don't get me wrong. But if I'm a Bucks fan, I'm listening to Ira's podcast, like, what are we talking about here? We're talking about a part-time guy at safety who was on one of the worst pass defenses in the league. What are we talking about here?
I like him as a versatile backup, is he?
Yeah.
You know, I like him as a backup. You plug him in. Now, Rice Hall has no chance, right? I mean, he's relegated. Now,
he's
I think he'll make the team, Lee.
Yeah, but he's a backup, and he's very handsy.
Okay.
Very handsy.
And coming off an injury.
Yeah that
doesn't
help.
I mean, competition means competition. You lose a locker room if you let guys compete and you don't play the best player. That's just reality. So they're all in the mix. Bowles just wants
good
players.
Now, wait a minute. Trask fans say Trask outplayed Mayfield 2 years ago.
Well, let's calm down.
Calm down.
Calm down.
Calm down.
Calm down. That's like this nonsense, this prank call over Shedeur Sanders. The guy's dad ought to be suspended. Calm down. Howard Stern made a career off of prank calls. Relax. It's not like the kid got in a drunk driving accident and maimed a little girl. Let's calm down.
Bill Curry Ford shop there. It's all we ask is people to go there first. Look at the employee pricing. Look at their reputation. BillCurryFord.com. And same goes for Florida's Elite Restoration. That's got to be your first call before you call your insurance company. But get to their website now so you know what you're doing and who you're dealing with. Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
Steve, does Sean still have 2024 vehicles that you can get a great deal on?
Not many, but there's a few out there. So you go to the website. You can see them right now. You can see all the inventory at BillCurryFord.com. Real quickly, Christian Izian, I wanted to point this out. Guy made 10 starts last year.
I like him.
I'm saying you're calling him a part-time backup guy.
Well, he's not full-time.
Well, he made 10 starts.
Exactly.
My point is
they've seen him play
full-time.
And Bowles likes him, Lee. Bowles likes him.
I like him, too.
I'm just saying. I hear fans driving down the road saying, well, he guy was on the field all the time until he got hurt. So they've seen him play. We don't know what they really thought. What we do know is they saw him get a big pick against the Lions in that key game there, and they like him. How much they like him, we don't know.
We can't. At least I can't get off the fact. Fifth worst pass defense league. Real quick, Ira, about the prank call on Shur Sanders. One of the funniest things I ever heard in my life was when Crackhead Bob ordered Chinese takeout. You got to go listen to that on YouTube. It is one of the most hysterical things I've ever heard. Bravo, Howard Stern, for that.
Now, Lee, I got a question for you. The secondary was ravaged last year, and I'm not talking about injuries. Ravaged by completion.
Yeah.
Ravaged.
Yeah.
especially those two Atlanta guys. I still can't get over them. And neither can Bowles. Neither can Bowles.
Nor should he.
Lee, in a perfect world, how much better could things look if Winfield comes back to form?
That would help, but I'll tell you something that'll help even more. You know where I'm going.
Pass rush,
Thank you. A good pass rush can make clowns look okay in the secondary. Because if a quarterback doesn't have time, he doesn't have time.
Steve, you think Winfield set too high a bar a couple of years ago? And I'm not going to hold him to that. But he's got to play better than he did last year.
Has to.
See, yeah, we talked about that. Ira, look, you could say it wasn't because of injuries, but they were playing. Kayvon Merriweather was making starts. Tyreek Funderburk was making starts. Josh Hayes, who they obviously
Josh
now
Hayes.
Think sucks, he's out there playing.
I mean, he's on the endangered species list.
I mean, the reality is that they've made moves this offseason to show that they don't want that caliber player on the field ever again.
Ira, is that fair? Josh Hayes is on the endangered species list?
No question about it. Right next to Jamel Dean. No, I'm kidding.
All right. Now, I want to talk about this because it's fun, and I like it on a lot of levels. Now, the Bucs, among their undrafted free agents, and they don't have a lot of spaces compared to other teams, so when the official list comes out, it's not going to be a long list of undrafted free agents for the Bucs. But they very, very quickly signed Shiloh Sanders, Deion Sanders' kid, undrafted safety, obviously from Colorado, but he played 2 years at South Carolina, 2 years at Jackson State, 2 years in Colorado. So he's a 25-year-old mature player. Todd Bowles, I was surprised, honestly, that Bowles even answered the question because most coaches aren't going to talk about an undrafted free agent. But he was on the radio. They asked him about it. And Bowles dove right in. You know, heck of a tackler, says Bowles. Knows the game very well. Sees the game well. We think he has a shot to help us at safety, special teams. Can't wait to see how he moves. I saw him tackle all year. You know, Bowles in the tackling. Again, repeat, smart player, blah, blah, blah. Now, the Bucs are basically inviting a circus to town with any of the Sanders players, kids, coming in because you know he's going to be turning it into a circus. And I'm curious your thoughts about all that. I'm excited for the attention that's going to bring the Bucs.
Well, Lee, I think the odds are against this kid making the team as an undrafted, with any undrafted free agent. It's very difficult.
Yeah, it's an uphill climb.
It's an uphill climb. If he does make the team, Lee, I think his role will be on special teams. And you know what? Tackling's very important, Lee, especially this year with the kickoff rules different, and there's going to be more kickoff returns. You got to put a little more emphasis on covering these kickoffs. Of course, they're not going to be booming into the end zone and giving the team the ball at the 35. If I'm a coach, I don't want to do that. I don't want to make a habit of giving a team the ball on the 35. If they got a kicker like McLaughlin, they're one or two first downs away from 3 points.
Yeah.
I mean, that's rough. So I think that's a factor where special teams coverage, and as far as returning kicks, I think Tucker can do a pretty good job. But this kid's got his work cut out making the 53. Lee, I don't care what his name is. And Steve's right. It'll be a little bit of a circus, but nowhere near what's going to happen in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. Now, maybe it's just my imagination, but it's almost like the Sanders clan has put Shiloh on the third row, not even the second row.
Right.
It's like it's all about Shadur. Am I dreaming?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I watch college football like a maniac, and I hardly ever hear any talk about Shiloh.
By the way, speaking of Shadur, and I don't want to speak for you two guys, but I almost felt sorry for Mel Kiper the other night because he was embarrassing himself. I think he did a 9-minute rant on how dare these teams not draft Shadur. It was not Kiper's finest hour. Far from it.
I was listening to Peter Schrager, who's now with ESPN. I was listening to him on Part of My Take with Big Cat and PFT Commenter. And he basically said at first production meeting he had at ESPN they were convinced this guy was going to be a top five pick. So that's the mentality he was. You're talking about that. This guy was. He obviously wasn't a top five pick. Number one, he was what, fifth round. Number two, all the nasty stuff you heard people say. Oh, the NFL's this, the NFL's that. First off, it's 2025. If a coach or a general manager thought this guy, a quarterback, was any good and can win them games, could save them their jobs, could make them rich, that they would care anything about the circus? Hell no. Jameis Winston, he brought the circus, didn't bring wins. So spare me that, oh, the NFL didn't want this circus. No. If he was any good, he would have been drafted.
And Steve, anyone, and there were a few people, but anyone who's going to suggest there's a racial element for why he fell into the fifth round, turn in your card. You're not a journalist. That's nuts. That's just nuts.
Well, Sage, look, it goes to the
racial element.
It's about the circus. I believe he was better than a fifth-round pick, but it's the same thing what happened to Tim Tebow in a different kind of way.
And Jameis now.
Everybody knows that. I think anybody watching football knew that Tebow was a legitimate backup or third-string quarterback, yet he couldn't get a job because nobody wanted the circus of, and the Jets saw it, that the media's flocking to the backup quarterback is just distraction. And different kind of distraction, whatever. But I think that's what it came down to. Once teams realized, all right, we don't want to take him as our projected starter, then you know, we don't want that as a backup. We'll wait.
Michael Sam went through that. Remember when Dungy said I wouldn't draft Michael Sam? And I think he was drafted in the seventh round by the Rams.
That's not a quarterback.
He's not a quarterback. But he wasn't any good, Lee. He didn't last.
I know. But what Steve said is that absolutely right. Now, when I said they'll deal with the circus, they'll deal with the circus for a starting quarterback. They're not going to deal with the circus.
And you could say the same thing for Colin Kaepernick. You know, people have strong opinions about that. But look, the last year the guy played, he threw 16 touchdowns and 4 picks. He's probably good enough to back up somebody.
And I say the same thing about Jameis because he brings a circus with him.
Well, he always gets a job, though.
Yeah, well, $1 million, isn't that what he's getting paid? $1 million? He's going to be out of a job in a couple months. You watch.
I might as well throw my 2 cents in here as we sit here in late April. I'm not thrilled with the backup quarterback situation.
Here we go.
I'm not thrilled.
You don't believe the Bucs. You don't believe that he's any good.
And let me guess, after you finish your next couple sentences, you're going to start talking about some nickel and dime running back to catch 2 yard passes on the backfield.
Can I have a backup with a little experience? Just a little experience?
Just like Mike Evans pulls a hamstring in the spring workouts, Ira pulls a pulmonary muscle.
Nobody wants Mayfield to get hurt, but suppose he's out for a month. I don't want to go 1-3. I'm sorry.
I'd rather allocate that money to a starter. That's going to be on the field.
Just wanted to clarify. I looked it up because I wasn't sure. Jameis, 2-year, $8 million deal, $5 million guaranteed. So he'll probably stick around.
You think?
Yeah, on some level as a backup for sure. Ira, I feel your pain. But
the guy's thrown 11 balls, Lee.
Either you believe the Bucs or you don't.
That's good.
They think he can play. Now, I agree with you that they don't value the backup position because you could have – look what they did in past years, right? You had Blaine Gabbert in there. They could have a Blaine Gabbert as a number –
had Ryan Fitzpatrick.
They could have a guy like Blaine Gabbert as the number three, but no, they've got a guy with no experience as a number three. So they just don't value it. You know?
I hope it's not an issue.
I hope not.
I hope not.
Actually,
so do I.
If he misses a game or two, how great would it be if Trask comes in and lights it up?
Oh,
that would just be outstanding. But, guys, I got to say, you know, cornerback, that's a very visible position in spring practices and training camp. Fans can watch. Media gets to evaluate legitimately. You got receivers fighting. You got new receivers. I think it's a lot of fun coming up for Bucs fans to actually have guys that can be that you can see versus, oh, we drafted two defensive tackles. Nobody knows what they can do until August.
I wouldn't mind seeing Morrison try to shadow Tez Johnson.
I want to see him against the Bucs big-name receivers in June. Well, let's see that.
By the way, kudos to whoever wrote this story between you two, Nudniks.
Probably him.
Somebody is still blowing the horn for opening up training camp to the rank and file. Good for you, Steve.
Well,
stay with it.
It's not right. They got to open it up. You know, like I'll give you an example, Ira. The Bucs.
Everybody's interested in this team, Lee. This is not a 6-11 team.
No. Lee and I once got some nonsense answer about fire codes. It's outdoors.
I haven't done it yet, but I'm about ready to call the public information officer of the Tampa Fire Department. Like, do you actually have outdoor codes?
So the Ravens, as an example, Bucs will be playing two joint practices outside of Baltimore. You know, last year, the Ravens opened 20 practices to the public, all of them. Every single one.
Not just season ticket holders?
All of them open to the public. And you know how basically what they do is they have limited capacity, not as much as the Bucks. But the way they do it is you go into a lottery for a parking pass. And you can put as many people as you want in that car. Basically, they're giving out they're giving out like 400 parking passes. And you come to training camp, and that's it. And all of them open, 20 of them. I mean, the Bucks has basically went from come one, come all to show me the money.
Lee, is it fair to suggest that the last 2 years, most training camp practices, it's kind of subdued?
Yeah, there's no Tom Brady.
No, but I mean, even the passion of the fans, it used to be crazy. And the Bucks weren't even that good. I'm talking about the Dirk Cutty years. Jameis was the quarterback, mm-hmm. and I don't know. I want to get back to that kind of passion.
Jameis, believe it or not, brought a little buzz. Didn't bring wins, but he brought some buzz.
And picks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The fans like camp, you know. I don't know. I mean, maybe some of that's the heat, and some of that's tied to who's coming in, right? You don't have your average crazy excited
right.
Joe Bag of Donuts coming in.
The guy on level three.
Well, the guy who can't afford to go to a game and is going to be really excited by going to training camp, they're not there. So, you know, it's unfortunate. It doesn't mean some of them aren't there, but it's not the same. Hopefully the Glazers make the right call. Plenty of time to decide. Ira, look, this draft, you got to slap a grade on it, Ira. We're going to ask you to slap a grade. Everybody else is slapping a grade. You got to slap a grade on this draft.
I'm going to go with the fans. I'm going to go B+. I'm going to go B+.
Okay.
Their first pick, clean as a whistle. No blemishes. Zero. Go try to find something negative about Egbuka.
You won't.
And Lee's been talking about him for a damn month, so kudos, Lee. The two corners, certainly a position in need. Those were Bowles picks, Lee. I feel confident in that.
Mm-hmm.
He was the dominant voice in those picks, not Egbuka. And, Steve, and I'm like you two guys. I read all the reviews, all the judgments. I think, generally speaking, Lee, the Bucks are getting hurrahs. Even Prickly Pete.
Yeah.
Even Prickly Pete gave him one of the few
A's.
Give
him A, yeah. He said he gave three teams A's.
Now, we don't know at this point, right, Steve?
Yeah, it's not fair till for 3 years.
No, of course not. But we have to ask, now, Lee, and I don't have to put a grade on it, but
the fans
gave it a B+ grade in our poll at JoeBucksFan.com. That was the top vote getting.
I'm so glad they didn't pull a Falcons and give up next year's number one.
You went after James Pierce Jr.
That's just nuts, Steve. That's just nuts.
Yeah,
you make a deal like that for a freaking quarterback that you want. I got to have that quarterback. Not for a guy that's got all kinds of question marks about him going into the draft.
What about Julio Jones?
Sage, I think you had a little intel there. Smells like it.
I don't need any intel. He was very polarizing, Lee. Pierce was very polarizing. Now, you know who liked him?
Sean Sullivan. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Sean.
So, Ira, look, one thing Todd Bowles sort of complained about a little bit on his serious interview, he said, hey, I can tell you changing offensive coordinators hasn't been good for the vacation at the end of the season. So Bowles, sort of admitting that he's been working a lot with Josh Grizzard, and he said that was going to happen, that he'd be putting a lot of time in with him, and especially since Grizzard has no experience whatsoever. But he did say that Bruce Arians taught him a lot about offense, how to handle offense, but Arians also taught him how to get coaches better without them knowing that you're trying to get them better, which I thought was really interesting. It really speaks to how much Bowles is in that Arians tree and that's his mentor.
Arians has had a tremendous effect on Bowles, no question about it. Lee, is it fair to make the following statement? The biggest question mark surrounding the 2025 Bucks is Josh Grizzard.
Oh, that's a big question, yeah. Very much so.
Somebody would say Haason Reddick, perhaps.
Reddick's at least got a resume.
Can Grizzard screw this offense up, Steve? Could he screw it up? Or are they too talented?
I'm going to say a bigger question mark for me is Todd Bowles resurrecting the defense. I got to say that's bigger. Now, Lee went off last year. Everybody heard it, said, I'm not calling this guy a guru anymore. That's over. Those days are over. We saw the defense turn nasty. Obviously, Bowles had some issues evaluating defensive talent. That was part of this with Tryon Shinka on the field and other things. So I think Grizzard will be okay because the talent and the quarterback's going to carry him a long way. I'm going to put a tiny bit bigger question mark on Bowles.
Steve, I was sitting next to Bowles and you were sitting next to me in Palm Beach when he said something about his exhaustive overview on films of every game and watching them seven times each. And Steve, when he said, I saw something. I came up with something, like an epiphany or something. That's my word of the day, Lee, epiphany. What the hell is he talking about, Steve? We don't even know what he's referring to.
He's not going
to
tell you, Ira.
He said, I saw something. Yeah. What did he see?
He saw the light. He saw
Lee,
the light.
What the hell did he see, Lee?
Whatever he saw,
Did he see them playing the wrong scheme? What did he see?
He saw Funderburk. He saw Josh Hayes.
Merriweather.
Who, by the way, light likes, so.
Merriweather was a much better player after they cut him.
And yeah.
He went to the Lions, came back, was a different guy.
Ira, what's going to be your reaction? I'm not saying this will happen, but what will be your reaction if Jim Schwartz squeezes 8 sacks out of Joe Tryon and Shuyanka next year?
That's a problem for the Buck coaching staff.
Very much so.
And it'll back up your angle, of which I fought back against. Like, has anybody gone to another team and done better than they did as a Buck as a pass rusher? If that happens, that's a problem. It's called not developing.
Yep.
Not developing.
And Schwartz is a very good coach.
Yes, he is.
Balls did go on to say that Josh Grizzard has an edge compared to Canales and Liam Cohen because he knows the whole staff, and they're all returning, and he knows the quarterback very, very well, and Canales and Cohen didn't have those combinations in place. So that's Bowles' take, is that all those learning curves are not here for Grizzard. He just has other ones. Fair?
Yeah, I think that is fair. Lee, as long as I'm making statements on this podcast, I might as well throw another one at you, Lee. I just thought of this. The three guys that they can least afford to get injured, I'll give you my three in order.
Ooh, top three list.
Top three.
Here we go.
Mayfield, of course.
Yes.
I'm going with Bucky Irving. And I'm going with Hassan Reddick.
Over Levante?
Whoa.
Yes.
Three guys. That's your top. Say that again, Ira. Your top three guys the Bucs can least afford to get hurt this year: Baker Mayfield, Bucky Irving, and Hassan Reddick.
I think they're banking on Reddick.
Lee, who's your three?
I'd have to include Levante David. Baker's obvious. Ira's got a point with Bucky Irving. You have no running game without him. So you go one-dimensional. That's not good. So I would say Ira's on to something there. Third, I'd have to go Levante. They lose Levante. They're... You know, you're
over Winfield? Over Winfield?
Very much so.
Okay.
I mean,
they won 10 games without Winfield last year.
One of the issues, angry Bucks, and I'm not saying this derisively, the Bucks fans who are angry at the draft, and there are quite a few. There's been a blowback. The big reason was they didn't address the needs, they said. And I know the Bucks, quote unquote, feel good about their linebackers. Well, I hope they do. They better hope. Because what I see and what other fans see, you're banking a whole lot on a 35-year-old and a guy that can't stay on the field.
Now, Steve, there might have been a couple of guys like Jalen Walker or Nolan that may have made Light think twice before he took Egbuka at 19, but they were gone, Steve, and we won't know. But there might have been a few defensive players that the Bucks were really looking at.
We'll never know. They always get the guy they wanted. That's how it goes. Yeah, always get him.
Yeah, always get him. Give me your three.
I'm going to go Mayfield. I'm going to go Mike Evans because he changes the entire offense more than Bucky Irving does. And I'm going to struggle with the next one a little bit. I'm going to go.
You're going to go with Vea?
I'm going to go right now. I would go with Zion McCollum.
Ooh.
Right now. Because Dean's an unknown. The rookies
Evans,
are an unknown.
Evans over Irving.
Yeah.
I disagree.
Evans changes the whole offense. So does Bucky, but I think the offensive line is good enough where Tucker and White can get 4.3 yards a carry and keep the chains moving. They're not going to be electric, but...
Don't you think they have depth at receiver?
You take Evans out, who's number one? Chris Godwin didn't want to play outside. He had a half a tantrum. I don't want to play outside. I'm not a number one big guy down the field.
Well, and the other half, his wife.
His wife. So we know that. Jalen McMillan hasn't proven that he can.
Maybe Egbuka.
Maybe.
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 So, you know, changes the whole offense.
All right. But all three agree Mayfield's number one.
Your starting quarterback.
I got Trask as number two.
Once you're your starting quarterback, you're done.
Yeah. Ira Kaufman Discount is at Bill Curry Ford, too, on top of everything else. John Sullivan's got it in his back pocket. He's the boss of Bill Curry Ford. You can find him at BillCurryFord.com, FloridasEliteRestoration.com. Just go there. See what they do. Be prepared. It's that simple. They're there for you 24/7. Sage, any final thoughts as we get out of here? We have more to talk about with this draft, but this has been a rollicking podcast, you would say.
I can't wait for rookie minicamp. There's some great stories. So.
You?
That doesn't mean I'm going to be there, but I can't wait for it. I'll be waiting for your reports over there, Lee. Well, I take care of Cosmo.
Of course,
I think this is exciting as hell. This is a rare, exciting rookie minicamp. Who were the rookies last year out there? Bucky Irving, nobody knew who he was.
Well, I did.
And running back, I mean, but...
McMillan.
Tyke Smith, you know, McMillan.
Yeah, the center,
Graham Barton. It's
Graham Barton in underwear, that's not very exciting.
By the way, that's not exciting at all.
Wait, they didn't draft an offensive lineman. So they
didn't need to.
Depth.
Well, I think they have their depth.
Is Opetta hurt?
The Sioux Opera. The Sioux Opera. I can't pronounce it. So it's Sioux Opera.
Is he hurt again?
No, just fans going bananas over this guy. You got to tell me why. I've never seen him play a snap.
He blew his ACL last July, and they re-signed him. One of the Bucs officials said the other day that it was actually Mike Beal, the new VP of player personnel, said that he's still rehabbing, which makes sense. And they expect him back. So
is he ahead of Klein or behind Klein?
They made a comment about Klein that they feel he could play a little center too.
So
who knows? We'll find out. The Bucks did, though. It is worth noting. So Jason Light had a 5-year streak going of drafting an offensive lineman. 5 years, it was broken, but he ran out immediately and
signed a guy.
Paid $300,000, and I have a little detail on that you may not read elsewhere. $300,000 to this guy Ben Chukwuma. Out of Georgia State.
Say that name again, Steve.
No, I'm not saying it again. 6'6", 310. He's a project. Never even heard of football from Nigeria until he was 17 years old.
Where'd he play?
He played at Georgia State. Now, he reminded me, instantly I thought of DeMar Dotson.
Yeah.
Basketball guy, project, undrafted, 2009. 3 years later, Dotson started.
Stalwart at right tackle.
Yeah, he has an excellent career.
Was this guy a basketball player?
No, this guy was just an athlete, soccer, other things. I apologize. He did play basketball as well. So he's a project. Now, here's the thing. If the Bucks are paying him $300,000, which is basically, they guaranteed him that, which is basically practice squad money, and they have a limited amount of money that they can guarantee to undrafted free agents, full practice squad for the whole year is what I'm talking about. A lot of undrafted free agents get $15,000 guaranteed, $25,000. They gave him $300,000, but here's the catch. If he gets plucked from another team, from the Bucks, to somebody's roster, they're not on the hook for that money. Or if they cut him, if they cut this guy and he's picked up by another team, they're picking up his contract. The Bucks aren't on the hook for it. So the salary cap lunatics out there, they don't worry if he gets cut in August and he lands with the Broncos or something like that on their practice.
But they're intrigued with this guy.
Yeah, they're very intrigued because he's supposedly a superior athlete, but he's a project.
But for people looking for hidden gems, a lot of coaches like basketball players. What do you always hear outside of handwork with offensive
footwork?
Line? Yeah, and basketball players generally have good footwork.
Or soccer for different.
You would think soccer,
positions.
But I can't speak to that. But I do know basketball. You got to have good footwork.
All right,
we're coming back later in the week.
Coming back later
Steve,
in the week here. We're very excited.
We roll on.
Maybe I think we're going to end up seeing the Sage at rookie minicamp on Friday, having a donut.
You never know. How's Sean do? How'd Sean do with his picks, Stevie?
We'll get into that next time. I have my story up on his draft results by the time we convene again, and we'll get into it. He had a great draft. Our Joe Bucks fan.
I don't know who had a better draft, Light or Sean Sullivan. It's a tough battle.
We'll end on that.